Queen City Kings is a group of local artists and musicians who work to recreate the music of King Records while telling the history of Cincinnati's original record label. They will be performing as part of a massive celebration of King Records. Here to tell me more about the King Records celebration are Queen City Kings members Yemi Oyedarin, J.P. Leong, and Kayla Waldron. J.P., Kayla, Yemi, thanks for joining me.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you.
I've heard it said more than once that the true birthplace of rock and roll is Cincinnati. What do you say to that?
Well, we have been spending the better part of a couple of years trying to show that, at least if not the birthplace, that Cincinnati has an extremely significant contribution in the evolution and the creation of the great American art forms of music.
You are involved in a project that's called Queen City Kings?
Yeah, that's kind of where we began at a project called Queen City Kings. It's morphed and evolved since then. And Queen City Kings was a live concert series where we recreated the King Records experience with 150 of our other friends and a 10-piece band and used that. The entire audience had headphones on, and we used that opportunity to give an audience an experience that they otherwise normally wouldn't have, where you get to sit in a recording studio with the band. And in that experience, we use that as the backdrop to play King Records music and do some storytelling as well.
We actually did three performances. The first one took place at the Contemporary Arts Center. And then we did a night of two shows at the Lodge in Dayton, Kentucky. And our final performance was with the Comet Bluegrass All-Stars.
Philip Hall attended our first performance at the CAC, and he actually got up and told us a little bit of his story too, which was just fantastic.
He gave us a nice Sid Nathan anecdote, which is, if you're not familiar, Sid Nathan was the, I guess we can say irascible is a good word to describe him.
Yeah.
The irascible founder of King Records. He was a very, I guess a character is the only way that you can describe him. But yes, Mr. Paul had some very funny stories to describe his irascibility.
And tell me about the connection with People's Liberty.
We received a grant to pull off the first year of our work with Queen City Kinks. So the whole performance aspect of it was powered by People's Liberties, one of the many $10,000 project grants that they give out. So that part was funded by the Hale Foundation. And we've actually continued our work since sans funding from People's Liberty. We've been putting together a documentary for the past year, interviewing people who were there, people who knew people who were there, and people who've written history books about King Records. So we've been working on that as well.
Is that film documentary expected to be finished anytime soon?
So we're planning on doing kind of a where we are now or a screening. We have a lot of information. We're talking about something that started from the FDR administration and ended in the Nixon administration. If you think about all the American history that takes place in between there, that's a lot of stuff to cover. And so we have a lot of content. And the first thing we want to do with this project is to primarily educate the tri-state area about the history that happened here. So I think we are probably going to have kind of a community event where we're going to just share where we are in the current story and the iteration. We believe King is the founding of not just rock and roll, but also soul and funk. And those are just as interesting and rich stories, and we want to be able to give enough time that the story deserves to really, really get an understanding of what Cincinnati's place is in all of this.
Why do you feel that King Records hasn't gotten the attention that it deserves?
We actually, in one of our interviews recently, asked one of our subject matter experts their take on this thought, and he brought up a really good point, and that is looking back at the archives of how this city, this area, remembers history. And looking at newspaper recordings and clippings, you can see things are emphasized in a certain way. And I think that personally, from my perspective, one of the things that we're discovering is that some of this has to do with race, you know, and like that's actually one of the awesome stories about King Records is that it's a place where racial divides were conquered and bypassed and mixed. And we have like all these musical segments that come out of it, which is part of the history that we're trying to tell. But another big part about that is that it ended at a very tumultuous time in the United States history with race and everything like that. And so Cincinnati being kind of the conservative place that it is might have not been so proud of that many black people being, you know, emphasized.
I also think it's because Sid Nathan died in 1968. Sid Nathan was the force of nature behind King. And once he passed away, that pretty much more or less pulled the wind out of the sails. You had the physical things inside of King were taken away to become part of King Star Day. which eventually was sold off and distributed in all kinds of, his desk is in somewhere in California. You've got the organ in Tennessee. I've been stalking some items from King for the last couple of years. And because the stuff wasn't preserved here in Cincinnati, I think it's been a little harder to find a closer connection to it.
Maybe 15 plus years ago, I actually went to visit the site of King Records, and it's in Evanston is the specific neighborhood, but it's in a pretty rundown location. I know you have a project, part of this massive celebration of King Records, you're organizing something called Clean Up the King. Can this building be clean? Can it be restored? Can it be celebrated?
For us, cleaning up the building is about respecting the history that's there and respecting the story that King has to tell about Cincinnati. So we want to invite the community out to be a part of that experience. And we just want to clean up the space around the building and make it an event for everyone to come out and enjoy the area around where history was really made.
How much of the interior is still intact?
Well, the building is not in the best condition, which is kind of funny. In the 40s, when 43, when Sid purchased the building, it was in just nearly as good a shambles that it currently is. So this is not the first time this building has been a complete wreck. But the building is kind of a wreck. The city currently right now is working to do some stabilization work, which I believe they have some contracts to finish that in the next month or so. After that, we're wanting to kind of get in, and we want to get in and have our community members have blood, sweat, and tears, as it were, put into the building. But the city has been working hard to actually get the building put back and getting it to code, in essence. And that process, I think they're going to be working on probably over the better part of the next year.
And I think that's actually one of the more wonderful parts about this whole story. You know, we may have, you know, quote unquote, forgotten about King Records, but a lot of people in this town have not. And like a lot of people in this town have been working. We're just one project of many that is really working to bring Cincinnati's legacy to light. So we have things like Jason Snell's thing that's coming up on the 25th. It's happening. We have, you know, the folks who've been working tirelessly and with Kent Butts, Otis Williams, the Evanston City Council, Xavier University, working hard to try and, you know, preserve the building. And it's all coming to fruition now, which is just fantastic.
Yeah, you have the work you've seen from Elliot Ruther. You have the work particularly from Brian Powers. Mm-hmm. Good Lord. That guy is a force of King nature. But you have some people who are super passionate about it. I mean, even our mayor. There's a very deep love and appreciation that you're seeing from people and have been having it for years. Darren Blaze from Shake It Records is another guy. You have a lot of these people that have been keeping this legacy alive. And it's really wonderful to see that we haven't completely forgotten it. And it's really beautiful to see the work of all of these people for so many years. I mean, you have to imagine people have been working on this for, Darren Blaze wrote a book in essence 20 years ago. Randy McNutt wrote a book. You have these people in this area who've been working on this stuff for so long, and to see their work slowly come to fruition is really, really exciting. I'm sure it's got to be exciting for them, and it's really joyful for us to be part of their legacy.
If you don't mind, I'd like to take just a step back and talk a little bit more about the Queen City Kings. This remarkable performance of music from the King Records catalog. Question one, I guess, is who's in the band? And question two would be, how do you select what songs to play?
We actually ended up performing and recording 43 of the tunes from the King catalog, which is just a huge number. Kind of went for, what would be some of the more memorable tunes that a lot of people have heard. And I mean, music that hit the popular radio waves. You know, we have like Fever, Man of Constant Sorrows, The Twist. You know, these tunes that we don't know came from here in Cincinnati, we played them.
We were really fortunate to work with a lot of world-class musicians who all have some sort of connection to Cincinnati. That was really important to us in the making of this project as we tell our story.
One of my favorites, J.D. Allen, which is a big deal. A lot of people are maybe not be familiar with the fact that one of the best saxophonists in the world lived in the Cincinnati area for a couple of years, and his name is J.D. Allen, and he was on this project. Another person was Mark Fields, who is a professor at the College Conservatory of Music. He's the trombone professor there, and he was in the Bob Braun Show. He was also a member of Ray Charles's orchestra. He was in that band, I believe, for 11 or 12 years. We also had Siobhan McNear, who is an SCPA grad, amongst other amazing things she's done in the area. But she also sings with Jennifer Hudson.
We also had Clyde Brown from the Drifters.
Mr. Brown was a member of the Drifters. They recorded on Atlantic. The funny thing about Mr. Brown is He knew every little Willie John lick, note for note. He knew every one of these guys and every song. You know, you name a song from the King archive and he had it down. It was incredible to see how King really impacted that generation, how that impact is still on the top of their memory.
You'll be performing a couple times. There's literally, as we speak, there's a stack of papers in front of me of all the many, many things that are going on for the next month or so to celebrate the history of King Records. And among those, you'll be performing August 25th at Memorial Hall as part of the King Records Gala. And then also at Second Sunday on Main, September 9th.
Yeah. With the gala, I'm actually helping out with kind of doing some music direction for them. That I'm actually going to be doing with a group of my former students from the School of Rock. I used to be a teacher at the School of Rock, and School of Rock is going to be the band supporting, so I'm going to be working with some of my old students. It's really exciting to kind of see a lot of those kids grow up and become really serious players. And for Second Sunday on Main, we're actually going to be doing that with the Comet Bluegrass All-Stars. They're going to be starting, kicking off the afternoon. And then we're going to be doing that with our funk ensemble and going through some country hits, some funk music, some soul. We're basically going to do the gambit of King songs.
As I mentioned earlier, there is a laundry list of events coming up in the greater Cincinnati area to celebrate the history of King Records. And we've just touched on a very small part, but I'm very grateful for your time. Yemi, JP, Kayla, thank you for coming in and talking to me today.
And thanks for having us, Jim. Yes.
My thanks to JP Leong, Kayla Waldron, and Yemi Oyedarin for stopping by to tell me more about the upcoming King Records celebration. For links to more information about the Queen City Kings and some of the exciting events coming up around town, please visit our website at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Jim Nolan.
Bless my soul, I love you. Take this heart away. Take these arms I'll never use. And just believe in what my lips have to say. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight. Treat me right, you give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight.